God is so good, isn't he? My goodness. I love that. All right, so we just love when the Lord gives us a fresh word. And this past week, the Lord gave Jackie a fresh word for us that I'm just so, so thankful for, because it's right on time. You know, we're in a place where the Lord is moving us into another realm in terms of our ministry. And so, you know, it's one of those things where I'm like, okay, well, when do we introduce this? How do we do this, right? Well, the Lord, he takes care of that. He takes care of the timing in terms of when he's going to do things. And I just love that. Really cool word to share with you tonight based on a dream that Jackie had this past week. And so without further ado, I'm going to have her come and share that. We're going to kind of tag team tonight. So that'll be fun.
Yes.
Well, as Russ was saying, on May 3rd, I had this dream that seemed kind of odd to me, and I'm just going to share what I saw. I'm going to read it. I saw a scale, and I heard these words, "I'm bringing balance to my church." Then I saw one man in a huge crowd on the end of the scale, and the other I saw on the other side of the scale. I saw just a crowd, and the balance was like it wasn't balanced, it was like a seesaw. But the interesting thing that I saw about the scale was that the smaller crowd brought balance to the scale as opposed to the man and the crowd. If Russ, if you can show us the picture so you can get a better idea of what I'm talking about. That's what I saw in my dream, that type of scale, gold like that, with the one man leading the crowd, which is the church, and also the smaller crowd, which is also the church. But I heard the Lord say, "I'm bringing balance to my church." So I posted that to our core team. You know, I wanted their interpretation on it. I had an idea of what the Lord was telling me, but I just wanted to hear from other sources. So I'm going to give you the interpretation that I also sent over to Pastor Gary, and this is what he said, which kind of ties into what I was sensing and my interpretation of it. And this is Gary. He said on May 4th, he said, "I believe it has to do with the balance of large groups meeting together in church versus small group meetings in homes and other places where fellowship takes place and everyone can use their gift. The churches have been good at big gatherings, which is great, but often neglect small groups." And he was coming from the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 20, which says that they met all together in the temple, but also in homes in small gatherings. Now, the scripture that came to me when I had the dream immediately was Acts chapter 2. And the way the Lord broke it down to me was, he said, based on my dream, the scripture that came to mind for me was Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 46. And the breakdown of that was fellowship with one another from house to house, breaking bread, teaching of the apostles, signs and wonders in these small group settings, growing together in the Lord, each person having something to share. That's what I got, my interpretation from that. And based on that, I just want to share with you, I truly stick by this, by the dream and by this word, because I just want to just let you know, I've been doing this for the past 4 years. Actually, October 5th will be 4 years by way of Victoria's Bride. And I've been so thankful for that. I've always believed God for small group settings, because I believe in those places you get to know who you are in Christ. You get to grow. You know what I'm saying? You get to know one another. You fellowship. And I remember, I just want to share a quick testimony. When I first got saved, one of the things that I said to the Lord was, "My home belongs to you. use my home for your glory. I welcome people. I don't care who they are. Just bring them in. My home belongs to you. And that desire never left me. I delighted myself in the Lord with that desire. And he's brought it to pass. You know what I'm saying? And he's doing mighty and great things. And I just want to tell the ladies here, you know who you are, even the leaders, Rosa, Debbie, and Amelia. I just want to tell the ladies here, Victoria's Brides, you guys, not only do we grow, and we rock. You know, and I just thank God for it. As a matter of fact, Victoria's Brides, clap your hands or stand or something. Come on.
Yeah, come Victoria, on, ladies.
Come on. I just want to say, we have a really, really good time together, learning together, and just doing what the Lord said do. And like I said, it's been 4 years, going on 4 years now, and I'm all for the church and the big gatherings. I'm for that. Yes, I'm not taking away from that. But I believe in my heart that when it comes to small group settings, that it's more personal, more intimate. That's just the way I believe, and that's the way it's been for us. More personal. You know, you learn who you are in Christ, your giftings, you're not afraid, and you just begin to share what the Lord has placed in your heart. My home is open to everyone here, and that is no lie. These girls can tell you that. My home is open to anyone because, first of all, it belongs to God. And that's basically what I wanted to share. This is the scale that I saw, and I think it's awesome that the small group is bringing balance to the scale. You know, it's just awesome. Amen.
Amen.
That's good. That's beautiful. Wow. I mean, that's a powerful picture. Because what it's saying is that the small group is every bit as powerful, as weighty as the larger institutional or organized church gatherings that we've all been used to. We've all participated in over time. You know, when God gave us the vision for a regional gathering, which ended up becoming Heaven's Invasion, it was really a twofold picture. It was the larger meeting that we have here, but also the home gatherings. I firmly believe that in order for the church at large to be able to handle the influx that's coming with the harvest, we're not going to have room in church buildings for all the folks that are about to get saved. We're talking a billion soul harvest that's been prophesied. Where are they all going to go? They're not going to go to church buildings, that's for sure. They're going to go into homes. And we're actually coming back to what was the original plan, the original format, which we see in Acts, where they met daily from house to house, and by the way, also in the temple. What was the difference? Well, the difference was in the house meetings, everybody had opportunity to share. And so when Paul was describing what that looked like in 1 Corinthians 14:26, he wrote this: "What's the outcome then, brethren, when you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification." Do you see the freedom there? As long as it edifies, it's okay. You can't do that on a Sunday morning. It's impossible. The bigger meetings are for specific levels of teaching and impartation that you would receive from the fivefold. Right? Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. That's when they are given the opportunity to impart and to share in the bigger meetings, right? Now, we kind of straddle the line here because we're trying to do both. It's not the ideal, but God's given us grace to have a larger small group meeting here in Heaven's Invasion, where, yeah, we've got teaching, but we also very much want to hear from the body of Christ, from all y'all, okay? Because you carry what needs to be released when we gather. You absolutely carry something that the Lord wants released. And if we don't make room for that, we miss out on revelation and insight and wisdom that the Lord wants to release through you. So that's why we value this so highly. As a matter of fact, when Paul wrote about it in Ephesians 4, right, he talked about how the fivefold ministry was given for the purpose of what? Who knows? What's the purpose for the fivefold? Right, to equip the saints for what though? To do ministry, exactly. See, fivefold are not supposed to be the ones that do the ministry. Now, you talk to some folks that are in leadership and they'll slap you down. We're the ones that are qualified. No. If a fivefold minister is not equipping you to do the ministry, okay, you might want to figure out or ask the Lord whether you're supposed to be in that particular group. Now, listen, I love the church. I love what God does in the church. So don't be saying that I'm not against the church. I am against leaders who don't equip the saints for the work of ministry, who don't release the saints for the work of ministry. Because here's what the problem is. Paul goes on to say here that the purpose of this is that we all attain the purpose of the fivefold equipping and imparting and releasing the saints to do the work of ministry is so that we will all attain to the unity of the faith. Wouldn't that be nice? Do you realize that the reason why there are so many denominations today is because the practice of fivefold ministry was lost around 300 AD? They didn't continue to equip the saints. Instead, what did they do? They equipped the leaders and separated the laity, the rest of the body, from the leadership. So that's why we've got so many denominations today. The knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Every time I read that verse, you know what it reminds me of? How many of you know about an art form called a caricature? Yeah. How do they do caricatures? Ever had one done of yourself? Right? What does it look like? It's a big head and a tiny little body, right? Because they don't care about the body. They just want to get your face. Well, every time I read that verse, I see a caricature of Jesus. Full-size head, tiny little body. Because why? We haven't been equipped. We haven't been released to become a mature person in Christ. Right? So the body of Christ is really operating, for the most part, as a 3 or 4 year old. Okay? Present company accepted. Alright? Because you guys, you got it and you're working it. So, because I won't let you not. How about that? You know? So, as a result, we're no longer to be children. The sad reality is that in most organized institutional environments, the leadership absolutely wants to keep the people in that childlike state. Because they're easier to control. I'm sorry, if I'm stepping on toes here, you need to understand the heart of the Lord for His church. This is what He's after. He's after small groups that can function as well or better than the larger ones. Okay? So, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. There's a lot of that. Just peruse Facebook for a while and you'll find it. Right? But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Whew. That is one theological mouthful. But the bottom line is that the body of Christ cannot grow up if we're not connecting. Because it's at the joints, right? It's what every joint supplies that causes the body to grow. So if I'm not connecting with you, you're not connecting with me, there's nothing flowing. There's no flow there. Does that make sense? All right. So Jackie gave a great testimony of what small groups are like. How many of you have had some really awesome small group experiences when you gather together with the saints? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's nothing like it. But here's the thing. I want to share with you where we're going. How many of you would like to know where we're going in all of this? Here's the phrase that the Lord gave me. We are becoming family with boots on.
Rosa liked that one.
Family with boots on. And to be more exact, army boots. Okay? It's family first, but the boots part you can't ignore. Why? Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 16. This is when he was asking his disciples, who do men say that I am? And they're saying, oh, you know, Elijah, John the Baptist, and all these other things, right? And so he, you know, what does Peter do? Oh, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus goes, yay! You got it, yay! Right? What was the very next thing that he said after Peter declares the revelation of who Jesus really is? Fascinating. He says, on this rock I will build my church, right? Now the rock, of course, unlike what our Catholic brethren would tell you, is not Peter, because it's a different Greek word. Okay? Peter, Petros, is stone. The word that he's used here is literally rock. So it's a big rock, okay? It's the rock that doesn't roll. Okay. He says, on this rock, I will build my church. Who builds the church? Is that my job or your job? No, it's Jesus' job. What's our job? Our job is to build one another, right? To strengthen and build one another. Let's just make sure we get that straight. All right. He says, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. Now, you understand about gates, right? We have to explain that. Gates are places of authority, okay? The problem is that for years, the church had this weird idea that they need to protect themselves from flying gates. That the devil was somehow going to be throwing gates at them, and so we've got to protect ourselves because there's these gates, you know, that are coming against us. No. Gates are places where the enemy is trying to keep you out. The devil wants to keep the church out of certain places and certain things. Is that right? So the gates that Jesus is talking about are places where we're supposed to break in and basically cancel his authority so that the kingdom can be established in those places. Right? So now, all of this stuff, and get this, guys, this is the first thing Jesus talks about when he talks about church. On this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overpower it. So what? What's going on? We have been commissioned to be an ecclesia, which is the Greek word there. And an ecclesia is not a Sunday morning gathering. Now, you can have an ecclesia in Sunday morning gatherings, but just simply going to a place where you sing and you lift your hands and you listen to somebody talking, that is not what Jesus was describing. The word ecclesia was taken from the Greek. It's a Greek word, but it was taken from the Greek culture. It was used to describe a gathering of the citizens of a town. Now, not every person in a town in Greece was a citizen. Some were slaves, some were visitors, some were foreigners that didn't have citizenship. So this was an elite group of people from a town who were called out to gather together for the very purpose of discussing the affairs of that city and making decisions about what was going to happen. They were going to pass legislative things legislation, that's what I'm trying to say. I just washed my mouth and can't do a thing with it. They were passing legislation that would affect the operation of that town. So what is that? Authority. They were exercising authority over a region. Okay? This was the word that Jesus chose to describe a gathering of his people. And he goes on to describe it. He says, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. I mean, I love, absolutely love that the New American Standard gets it right. Because the other versions make it sound like we do the binding and loosing here, and heaven follows our lead. It's the other way around. We've been called to declare heaven on earth, right? So, and just quickly, I'll refresh some of your memories that the church got this exactly backwards when they talk about binding and loosing, right? We've been taught that binding means that we're tying up the devil and forbidding him. That's not what it means. To bind something means you're declaring that the laws, the rulership, the kingship of Jesus is binding upon that person or situation. It's legally binding. That's the true meaning of that word. And to loose means you release someone from the illegal authority of the devil. I release you from his power. I release you from his authority. I set you free from whatever the devil's been doing in your life. That's the true meaning of binding and loosing. Okay? So this is what we've been called to. Now, what we haven't realized is that this doesn't require the big group to do. Because when Jesus talked about it again in Matthew 18, he used the exact same language about binding and loosing. And then in verse 19, he says, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. So we are absolutely allowed and encouraged to do whatever we can do legislatively when we get together, just two or three. We don't need a big service, a big hoopla to be engaged in kingdom business. It just takes two or three. Jesus says, I'm going to show up. What do you want to do? What is it that you want to declare? What is it that you want to see happen? And so, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to just wrap this up real quick here. When the Lord gave us the vision for this regional gathering, it was a twofold vision. It was the larger gathering, and it was the home gatherings. And so, the Lord gave me a teaching that we've done on a couple of occasions. We shared it with the chaplains. I've shared it here as well, I think, a few years ago with Gary. Because the vision God gave me was for something called a Lighthouse Neighborhood Center. You can hit that slide for me. A Lighthouse Neighborhood Center is basically a home in every neighborhood where people know they can go for prayer, to find out about God, to learn about God, you know, to be touched by God. And so I believe that this is the year that we're launching some of these lighthouses. And some of you, I think, are ready to do that. And so I've got a sign-up sheet that will commit you for life to do just see who's awake. Exactly. No, it's a sign-up sheet that just basically lets us know what your level of interest is, okay? There's actually three things you can check off. You need to fill out your name, put your name and email address. And then there's three check-off places that you would like to either attend one or host one in your home or facilitate one of these groups, okay? So whatever you feel you're ready for or that you'd like to do. So that's the sign-up sheet right behind you, Rosa, on the chair. So we're just going to hand that or pass that around and, you know, let us know what your interest level is in terms of doing that. There's two, so one for each side of the room. I kind of feel kind of lopsided today. It's like all of Mary's people just... You know, was it something I said? I mean, I can't believe he was preaching against the church. I'm not preaching against the church. I am simply declaring the heart of the Lord so that we all get involved on this level and we start to see some amazing things happening, right? You know, I'll finish up with this. Verse 47, Acts 2:47. You know what it says? It says that the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. And what was the context? The context was that they were meeting from house to house. Right? Why? Think about this. People are looking for connection on a deeper level. They're absolutely looking for a deeper connection. Some folks like going to a big gathering because they can stay hidden. And that's fine. Young, stay as you want. You can't hide from God. He's got your number. But there's many others who are really looking for deeper connections. To experience what it's like to be loved with the love of God. And so I believe that this is going to be a repeat of what we saw in Acts chapter 2, that God is going to add daily because people are going to go, man, this is awesome. You know, I finally know who I am. I know what it's like to be loved. Okay. So I'm excited about that and look forward to hopefully seeing some of you guys getting involved with the Lighthouse in your neighborhood. We will absolutely be there supporting you, helping you. It's not like, you know, let us know how that works out for you. No, we're not going to do that. Okay. Neither, by the way, will we tell you what to do in your lighthouse. Why? Because you hear from Papa as good as me or anybody else. So this is not going to be some kind of program where you've got to follow a set pattern. It's really what the Lord would have you do. Any questions? Good. So what do you think? Did Jackie do an awesome job sharing that thing?
Yes, she did.
Oh my God. I love tag teaming like that. So listen, if you ever get just a short thing piece of, and you don't know what to do with it, you let me know and we'll work it out. So you share some and I'll share some. You know, unfortunately, I seem like I shared a whole lot longer than you.
Okay.